Welcome, Tri-Chatter. Hey, Ron Sattermo here with my old sidekick, Sherry Renard.
I'm ringing the cowbell and eating chocolate chip cookies because, you know, triathletes, we eat
We need our carbs, without a doubt. Well, this is a very, very special edition of Tri-Chatter this week.
That's why we're ringing the cowbell.
Because Sherry just qualified for Kona.
First time ever.
At the California Ironman 70.3 in Oceanside. Amazing.
Thank you.
We want to hear about everything. But so, you said there was some stuff leading up to the race week before.
Right now, I'm pretty much out of control. Like, I can't even focus on work. It's just crazy.
Let's talk about the training that led up to it, and then we'll talk about race week, and then talk about the race.
Are we going to do this all at one time?
It's all about you today.
It is all about me.
So tell us about your training. Start with that. What were you doing to train?
Well, as you know, I like to do a lot of century rides.
Yep.
And I do those, I try to do three or four over the off season to keep myself accountable for mileage on the bike. I like to try to have a lot of good base mileage. And, you know, we coach the team in training. So we did the Palm Springs. We did Solvang, which was a big ride for me. Solvang weekend, 3 weeks before California Half.
Yeah.
That was my big weekend, and I kept falling back on that every time I would start to have any doubts for my training, or was I ready for this race, or anything like that, because at Solvang, we did, you know, the 100-mile bike ride, and then I got off the bike and ran at a pretty good clip for 30 minutes and felt great.
Oh, wow. What's the elevation of that? Do you know?
You know, you can't ask me these technical things because my brain is completely gone. I am in Kona psychosis right now. That's what Pete's calling it. He goes, oh, my God, the Kona psychosis. It's around 4,000 feet, I think.
No, it's going to be more than that.
I think it's over 5,000 feet.
Yeah, I mean, Mulholland was like 15,000.
Yeah, ask me next time and I'll tell you. Then we got up the next morning and I ran 13 miles at a good pace.
Good.
And we swam when we were up there. So anyway, that was a big, big weekend for me. I did a lot of long rides in the hills, you know. Not too long, though. I mean, and then did my spin classes and always would try to do a brick workout. Did a lot of bricks after teaching the spin classes. Did my tempo runs. Had a really key tempo run two and a half weeks out. Went to the track and did a mile warm up. And then I did 4 miles at about a 6:58 to 7 minute pace.
Nice.
And then, you know, a little cool down. And I felt really good. So I knew I was ready, you know, and then the week before, you know, the last week I did my standard 6x400 repeats at the track on Wednesday. And I felt like I was ready. I really had a great taper.
How long did you taper? 1 week, 2 weeks?
I started about 2 weeks out. 2 weeks out, we had a fundraiser at the YMCA called Cyclemania where we raised $1,600 for the YMCA's community fund. And So on my training plan for that week was about what was it? 50 miles, 50 to 60 miles. I can't remember exactly. So I did taught a 1 hour spin class, sat on my trainer for an hour, and then taught another 1 hour spin class, and then went out and ran for an hour. So that was, you know, that was my taper down from Wildflower. Wildflower was the big thing. Then the next week, next Saturday, that's what I did. You know, of course, did all as much ocean swimming as I could. Freezing my butt off, unable to form words. But I have to thank my girlfriend Julia too for helping me in the ocean. She swam with me on Sunday and she helped me a lot. She really did.
I didn't go in the ocean once before the race.
I had to, and I am so thankful because I did not have any problems with my hands down in Oceanside. I was really worried about that.
About getting so cold?
Well, because I've got that Raynaud's and the blood goes out of my fingers and I can't manipulate. Anyway, So the water was good, though. It was 62 degrees. It
was
amazing. We were really, really lucky. So I had a great taper. I knew that I had my base. I knew I had my speed and my power on the bike because of teaching all these spin classes. And the spin classes I teach are really geared toward cycle fitness. And I mean, there's intensity. And so that's the physical part of it. Now, the mental part was, you know, I psyched myself absolutely out, sort of. First of all, I know that you probably do this too. You go on the registrant list and you see who's
racing. I was going to ask you to see if you checked
out
the competition.
Well, in my age group, in 50 to 54 women's, it was a very strange phenomenon because last year, first place was 513, Colleen Capper, who got second place this year. Second place was Kate Samuelson with 516. Third place was a girl who was 531. There was nobody between 516 and 531.
Yeah, that happens a lot.
And this was last year when there were about 38 women in the age group. So women all over the world obviously saw that and said, hey, I could be there. I could be in that gap. So there were more than twice as many. There were 76 women in the age group.
Oh, wow. That's a lot.
So, of course, yeah, I'm like, whoa. So I started reading through, checking out, making a list of people
whose
names.
Going to Athlinks.
I went to Athlinks. I started creeping on just, say, 20 of these girls. And I said, you know what? I got to stop this. Because I know this girl, Cass Flagg, was registered. Kate Samuelson, the first and second place girls were registered.
Yeah.
And I knew Kate Samuelson has a fast run. Her time last year was 1:38 on the run. So I knew if I get out on that run, I've got to be at least a few minutes ahead of her for a cushion. But, you know, anyway, so I started to creep out. And then I just said, you know what? You can't control who shows up to the race.
Right.
Obviously, there are a lot of fast people showing up here. So let's focus on what we can control. The only thing I can control is how I execute this race.
Yep.
And I went out in the back bay two or three times in the last 10 days, and I just practiced transitioning. Practiced on and off the bike and just really getting confident and running with the bike and just doing really, I guess you would call that elementary stuff. But I said, I got to be on everything here. I got to have a lickety-split
absolutely
transition.
Crucial. Yeah.
I've got to get on that bike. I've got to be comfortable with really getting some speed up, then putting the shoes on. You know, I've got to mount all the stuff.
Yeah.
So I really, I think that was huge because if you look at my transition times, I just killed them. I was 24th coming out of the swim in my age group.
Yeah.
Of course, I didn't know that at the time, but I knew I had my usual 40-minute swim.
Yeah.
I was in the top third, but it was just okay.
Right.
So when I got, and I ran hard through transition, you know, and I had my wetsuit just about off by the time I even got there. And Sue Pope, the girl who ended up getting third, was right next to me, and she was putting her bike stuff on. And I noticed there were a lot of, you know, there were several women in there. A lot of us came out together. A lot of us were really close. And I was out. I was gone. I was just out of there. So I don't know how many I passed in transition, but I passed a lot.
Yeah.
And then I remember passing 7 or 8 or 9 women on the bike. And so I felt really good.
So you passed a bunch in transition and then a bunch on the bike.
I passed a bunch on the bike. Yeah. And I felt good on the bike. It was really tough, as you know, back there on the backside of Camp Pendleton. You know, great tailwind, I felt, at the beginning on those flats. And I really hammered on the flats. I think my first split was almost 23. Maybe it was over 23 miles an hour.
Yeah, we had the wind at our back.
Yeah,
and it was flat.
And we were flying, and I was just taking advantage of it and just staying arrow and just going. And then we got to Pendleton and, you know, kind of hunkered down. Had a 11:28 gearing. So I just had a great time
spun
on the
right
hills.
Up those hills, man.
Yeah, well, that first big hill.
That's a big
nobody,
hill.
You can't even spin up that in a 28.
There were a few people that got off the bike where I was.
This is
a
hill that's what percentage, you know? I mean, I can't even tell you
or
because
something.
My brain is fried. And I really, I worked it hard on the downhills. I worked it on the downhills too. And tried to stay aero. And I just felt good. I just felt really good. Oh, then I told you I hit the bump and lost. I hit this huge bump. Thank God.
Was that in the back by the tire?
No, it was down on Vandegrift. It was I only had like a half an hour to go. Hit this huge hole, and the course was very well marked but I was just, you know, I was down.
They had lots of tape and they
heard something go flying off, looked back, saw something black, and later realized when I looked at my computer that it was my pickup. It was gone. So I just kept riding hard and passed Diana Noble, who's in the age group down, who I know is pretty good. So I was feeling like, okay, I feel good about this. So I pulled into transition, and Sue Pope, who ended up getting third, had come off the bike and was getting her run stuff on. And
so you guys were right together.
Right.
You were together in T1
My
and T2.
Bike time was 1 second faster than hers. So I was literally right behind her the whole time. I got first on the bike. She got second on the bike. But I noticed there was another bike in transition. There was hers, and there was another bike a ways down the rack.
Okay.
Plus, and I think this is new this year, the San Diego Triathlon Club has their own big transition
area. Yeah, that's not fair.
So I'm thinking to myself, okay, there's her and there's this bike. But how many athletes from the San Diego Triathlon Club in my age group are there?
Yeah.
And knowing San Diego, there could easily be five or six women who had a smoking fast swim.
Yeah.
And, you know, whatever. So I get out there, and so I say, okay, what can I control here? What can I control? I can control the girl in front of me. So I kept my sight on her, and within the first mile, I passed her. And I asked her, I said, do you know if there's anybody else ahead of us? And she said, I don't know. And so did the run. I love that run because it's so spectator friendly. And we stay in this condo right there. And our friends Bill and Jen Fritchie have a computer in their condo. So I see them on the run. And I said, go check on Ironman Live and tell me where I came off the bike.
Right.
And
where did you see them? At the beginning of the run start?
They were at, no. They were out by the pier. So it was about mile one.
Okay.
And so then I was running and I knew I had beat this girl. So when I came around the first turnaround, I kind of timed what time I went through there. And then when I saw her, and so I was almost a minute ahead of her at that point. And then didn't see them when I came down here that time because they were still up there checking the computer or whatever. Okay. And at the turnaround down by transition, I was 2 minutes ahead of the girl behind me. So I knew, okay, I'm pulling ahead of her. Yep. I'm pretty good with that. Then, all of our friends were down there cheering. I mean, it was just, I felt great. And I was holding, between 720 and 740s.
Awesome.
Yeah, and I was feeling good, So then Pete, who wasn't able to do the run, he's injured.
Pete's your husband.
Pete's my husband. He said, I'm pretty sure you're in the top three. I haven't seen anybody with any women with a 50 on their leg in front of you. He says, I'm pretty sure. Then, so I'm on the second loop and I'm just feeling good. I'm booking because I'm thinking, I don't know if Kate Samuelson's in front of me or behind me or where she is, but I'm running really strong and I'm just holding it, So I'm coming back on the second loop, and I'll never forget it. I see Bill and Jen Fritchie, our friends who own the condo, and I see her. She's doing cheerleader jumps. She's doing this. And he's going, you're in first. Oh. You're in first. You need to get out of here. Run, run. And I had like 2 miles to go at that point, and I'm like, oh, dude.
But were they giving you any information about who was behind you, or were they catching you, or you were dropping them, or so you don't know?
But I knew that the girl behind me that I had passed, but there was this other bike.
Yeah.
I couldn't figure out who the other bike belonged to. So anyway, it turns out the other bike belonged to a guy named Michael, who is now listed in our online results as the second place person. And I've written to Ironman and said, they fixed it before the awards ceremony. They did give Colleen second, and they gave Sue third, and they were both darling girls. We're like, yeah, they were great. But anyway,
so he must have put down his sex was a woman.
And yeah, they thought it was Michelle or something. And I end up meeting him after the race in transition. Yeah. And he goes, well, it's been fun racking with you guys. You know, this is really weird, and I don't know why they did this. But so anyway, I really hope they'll take that off, because I think I wrote them and said, you know, these girls deserve recognition of second and third.
Yeah.
Hopefully they will. But so there's this mystery bike. Well, Bill realizes it when he's up checking the internet thing. He says, who is this Michael? Is it Michelle? So he checks on it. It says real estate agent from so-and-so, Texas. He Googles it. And here's this picture of this real estate agent guy with like his tri bike. And he goes, Michael's a guy.
And was he in first then?
No, I had passed him on the road.
Okay. All right.
He had this smoking fast swim. He had like a 27-minute swim.
Oh, wow.
And he had a 245 bike. So he was ahead of me on the run, but his run was like 152.
Yeah.
So I had passed him at some point and didn't even know who, of course, you know. So anyway, I just ran. I had a good run. I had a great run. The run sealed the deal. So I passed. I was second coming off the bike, as it turned out.
Yeah.
So it was 24th coming out of the water, second coming out off the bike.
Wow.
And then sealed the deal.
That's 23 women. Wow. So, okay. So I want some details now. Do you happen to know what your times were?
Yes.
Can you break it down? So the swim was what, 40?
The swim was 40 minutes and 55 seconds.
Okay, so almost 41.
Well, it's my average mediocre to bad swim there. Yeah. I felt good on the swim.
Yeah.
I felt like I wasn't swimming quite as off course as I usually do down there. Mm. It's a really difficult course to navigate, I think.
Well, at least the sun wasn't out.
At least
this
the
year.
Sun wasn't in our face. I never quite get it right when I'm coming around that last turn, you know? But, no, I felt good on the run, and I knew, or on the swim, I just knew I had to have a solid swim. I knew if I came out a minute or two behind these girls that I felt confident that I could get them on the bike.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay, so what was your T1 time?
2:51.
Oh, that was fast.
I smoked on T1. I'm telling you, I practiced that transition, and I knew it was a long run out of the water, so every time I did my ocean swims, I would do a couple laps
get
up and
run.
Down to the lifeguard
that's
towers
really smart.
With the wetsuit.
So,
yeah, that's
so
what
you...
I made everybody that I was coaching do, too.
Well, yeah, it's smart.
Who was doing Oceanside, or any race, you know?
So now, did you wear socks on the bike?
No, but I did on the run.
Okay, so...
Oh, don't make me share my sock secret with you. We're going to write a book called You're In It to Win It. Do you get it? You're in it to win it?
Yeah.
You're not getting it.
I'm getting it. yeah. Okay, so the bike time was what?
The bike time was exactly what my goal was, 2:47.
2:47, that's
awesome.
It was
awesome. 20.1 mile an hour average pace.
Wow.
And I've got it all written down. I had it right there in my tri bag.
Wow.
That was exactly.
You know, that was a tough bike.
My goal,
this time.
On the swim was 39 minutes. I thought, come on, girl, you can at least get it down to 39. And I didn't. But my goal for the T1 was 3 minutes. So I was nine seconds under that.
Yeah.
Right on my bike goal. My goal for T2 was 2 minutes, and it was 1:51.
Yeah.
Now, so
you put socks on.
I put
T1.
Socks on.
Yeah.
And while I was sitting down putting my socks on.
That was when you're peeing?
That's when I pee in the transitionary.
Yeah. I couldn't. I tried to pee on the bike so bad.
It was too windy to pee on the bike.
I
see how
do
nice
it.
I am? I would never do that because it might get on someone.
I couldn't do it.
So I peed in transition.
I didn't care about anybody behind
me.
I just couldn't get it to come out.
If the world knows my tips, I hope they use it, because I hope I come back and the whole transitionary is soaking wet. Because really, think about it. People agonize, should I wear socks? Should I not wear socks? Well, you know, you got to pee sometime. Why not take that 10 extra seconds to put your socks on and just pee?
Yeah.
You're sitting there. Everything's a mess anyway. Why not? And then you're done. You don't have to worry about other than that, you got to pee on the bike. These long races, you've got to pee sometime.
Yeah.
If you don't, then you're not hydrating enough, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, 1:51, including peeing on Brenda's wetsuit. No, I'm kidding, Brenda. I didn't pee on your wetsuit.
I peed on your towel.
I peed in your shoes. I've been in your running shoes. So anyway, yeah, it came off, and I just, I had a great run. Okay. I had a great run.
And
so run was 138.
138. Wow. That's awesome. So,
the overall time was, and then of course me being, see how we are as triathletes. I go, God, 1 second I'm faster. It would have been 137.59. It would have been better. Anyway, so the total time was 5:10. It was eight minutes faster than I did it last year.
Wow.
So I've done Oceanside 4 times now. The first time I did it in 2006, I did it in 5:54. Second time I did it in 5:27.
Wow.
Third time I did it in 5:18. And this time I did it in 5:10.
So next year it's 5 flat.
No, it'll be 5:05 next year because, damn it, I'm going to get that swim down.
So what were you doing on the bike nutrition wise? Drinking, eating?
I had my Perpetuum.
Yeah.
A pretty heavy mixture of
how many calories in your bottle?
I have my speed fill. Okay, so I had enough to. I was taking in about between 250 and 280 calories an hour, between my Perpetuum mixture, and I put in some of the stuff they were handing out on the course, the Powerade or the whatever the stuff was.
I didn't even notice.
I put a couple scoops of that and counted that into my total calories, and I put some salt tablets in there because I just emptied them in there because the Perpetuum doesn't have enough of the potassium in it.
Yeah.
They're hoping that you're going to take their Endurolite, so I just thought, no brainer. And then I had a goo every hour. And I took off. It was interesting. I thought, okay, I'm going to try this. I'm going to take off with because my SpeedFill holds 2 bottles.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take off with this concentrated mix, be really hydrated before the race, and I'm just going to take little sips of it until I get to the first water station. Because why carry that extra weight?
Exactly.
And then I grabbed the Gatorade at the next one and filled it up some more to, you know, and it was perfect.
Yeah,
I
those felt, bottles weigh two pounds when they're full.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why
you know, I just felt like I nailed it on the nutrition, and I hate to even say that, knock on wood and everything, because it was just one of those races where everything went right.
Yeah.
Everything just went, and I felt strong, and the winds were tough. The winds were tough back there
at
Camp Pendleton.
Yeah.
It was really hard, but I just had a great time.
I can't
even believe it.
I know, it's so great.
Oh,
isn't
so
it?
Here's the exciting thing. No, I'm not even gonna say. So Colleen Capper, who ended up getting second, who won last year, I beat her by 5 minutes.
Wow, that's a huge gap.
I think that's a pretty good gap.
That's a huge gap.
Okay, now you want to hear how completely psychotic I am?
No.
I made the mistake of, because they medal 5 deep in these things. And
yeah.
It's a shame because when you go to the podium, it seemed to me only the top 3 people would show up. I think sometimes people don't realize that in the Ironman events like that, they medal 5 deep.
No, that's true. And a lot of people took off. I picked up another one of my buddy's awards too.
So, of course, I've been, you know, like I said, I can't get any work done because I'm on the computer and then I'm looking up this and Kona and that and you know, doing all this crazy stuff. So yesterday I made the mistake of, I was on the World Championship website and I clicked on the results, which I shouldn't have done.
Results from last year? Yeah.
So I clicked on last year's results and then I clicked on a couple years prior, 2 or 3 years prior, just to average it all out
right.
And see. And Colleen Capper, the girl that I just beat by 5 minutes, got 5th last year.
Oh, that's good. That's really
good.
So
I'm thinking, dude, I'm going for it. Not for the win, because I know that there's the untouchables out there. There's the 10 and a half hour people that you just can't touch. But I'm going, hey, if she can do it.
Yeah,
you know,
could
I know, but
there.
Then I feel kind of psycho because I think I should just be enjoying the experience. This is so wonderful. And I totally do am going to just eat it up. You know me.
Yeah,
I'm just going to be crazy.
But there's no reason why you shouldn't go there and race it, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. If she could get on the podium, why couldn't I?
Absolutely.
I will start a tsunami over there. Can you imagine? I just can't even imagine getting on the podium at Kona.
Oh, yeah.
That would just be ridiculous.
That would be huge.
That would be ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think I can do it. What do you think?
I absolutely do. I've always thought you could do it.
I'm just still in shock.
You need to work. I mean, you got the bike down. You got the run down. You just got to fix that swim. You need to get the, you
we gotta can have be, another whole podcast about that.
Yeah, we need to work on your swim.
I know. I need
That's
help.
It. Yeah.
And since I now don't have a swim coach.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I need a swim coach. Anybody who wants to help me. I guess I'm kidding. No, I'm really not kidding. What I need is just, I know what I'm doing wrong. I think I pretty much do, but I just need somebody drilling it into me.
Are you doing drills? Are you doing
I'm doing drills.
We videotaped you, right?
No, we'll go offline. We'll go offline and talk about my swimming experiences because my mother always said, if you can't say something nice, Don't say anything.
But that's if you get the swim down, you know, because the swim in Kona, it's tough,
right?
You know,
and I'm going to have to get one of those speed suit things.
A lot of current, you know,
right?
And
I've got to work on the swim.
And you know, the thing with me is, you know, I'm a pretty good swimmer, so I'm usually, you know, up with the faster people. I'm certainly not the fastest by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm not used to being in the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing with Kona is everybody's good, and I couldn't break free from the crowd.
I don't think
that
that'll be a
problem
for me.
Very unusual for me. So
I don't think that'll be. If there's an open spot in Kona where someone can be completely by themselves, that's where I'll be. Just like I always am, me and the sea turtles. But hey, We'll have a great time.
Oh, it's just
I'm really excited about it. And now I'm totally having to redo my season plan, because my season plan was to peak for Ironman Canada at the end of August, which I'm obviously not going to do now.
Are you still going to do Canada?
Pete's still going to do it. I'm going to go up, and if I can't get a refund, you know, they have their standard refund. If I can't work something better out, I'll just do the swim and the bike.
Yeah.
And then be out there cheering for my athletes.
Well, you know what I'm you know what I'm going to do?
What?
And you might think about this. It's the same strategy that the pros use. So I'm going to St. George, and I don't think I've got a particularly good chance of getting a Kona slot there, because there's only two in my age group for that. There might be three, but you can really only count on two.
Mm-hmm.
Is I'm going to St. George, and I'm going to do the swim. I'm going to do the bike. And if I'm kind of in it still, if I'm in the top half dozen guys after the bike, I'm going to start the run. It's a two-loop run, so I'm going to do the first loop of the run.
Right.
And if I'm in contention, I'll keep going. If I'm not, I'm going to bag it, because I'm doing Honu, which is
you're
a month later.
You're doing Honu in June.
Yeah.
That's right.
I've got a better chance.
That's where your plan
there.
Is. That's where you qualified last year.
That's where I qualified last year. But so you might think about that too, you know, just kind of go and...
I've already got my spot. I'm not going to blow a chance of getting on the podium at Kona.
How many loops? Is it just one loop on the
it's
run?
It's one loop, but it's a long loop. So I might do a little brick, you know, like go maybe do 5 miles or something. But I'm excited now, though, because Rod and Maureen are coming, and Rod's going to bring his bike. So I'm just going to use Canada as a training week.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do the swim and the run. I'm going to do the swim. If I don't get a full refund or whatever, since I'm giving them all this money to do Kona. But I don't know what their policy is on that,
qualified.
But anyway, I'll just do the swim and the bike. I think it would be a great workout.
Yeah. No,
you know, and then I can be out there on the run course, which is a beautiful course. So anyway, now I have to plan to peak in October.
Right.
You know, because this was my peak here this weekend.
Yep.
This was it. And, you know, I've got Vine Man, and now I'm actually rethinking my, we've talked for a long time. Are we going to be in trouble?
No, four or five.
I'm rethinking, I had signed up for the Wildflower Long Course, because that was my plan B if I didn't qualify for Kona, was to qualify for the Long Course Championships in Vegas.
Yeah, yeah.
At Wildflower for the USAT.
Did you take the 70.3
slot? No, I didn't. Because it's in September, it's right after Ironman, you know, So anyway, that was my plan, was to go up and do the Wildflower Long Course. Now I'm going, I think I'm just going to do the Olympic distance up there. Why go beat myself up on those terrible hills?
Yeah. That's insane.
So I think I'm doing the Olympic distance, and I'm still going to do Vine Man. But, you know, I just have to change things around a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, and make my reservations. My reservations over there. Everybody says, so, yeah, that's the other thing I've been psycho about is trying to find, where are we going to stay and what are we going to do? And hallelujah. But I got to tell you, it was so fun to see, and you know it too. It's so fun to see people you know out there on the course when you're racing and have people cheering for you. And I will never forget seeing Jen Fritchie doing the cheerleader jumps and her husband saying, "You are in first place, girl, and you just better go."
That is such a great feeling.
That is the, I just can't tell you, I felt like I was running through the clouds.
Yeah.
Amazing. It was just, yeah. I thought, well, as long as nobody comes chasing me down, but I'm not going to slow down enough to find out. Because if they're going to chase me, they're going to be in for a fight.
Well, that was a big gap between first and second. That was huge.
Yeah. She ended up, okay, she came out of the swim at 37 minutes. Her bike time was 2:52, so I got her good on the bike. Yeah. You know, I had her by...
7 minutes.
Yeah, 5 minutes. 5 minutes, because I was 2:47.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I had her by 5 minutes on the bike, and then she's got a good run, though. She was 1:39:30 on the run.
Wow.
So she passed Sue Pope, the tall girl that I passed a mile in. She caught her on the run and passed her, because Sue's run time was like 1:44, you know. So I ended up getting her by 5 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm so
It was a gap. I'm so happy, great. Too. Thank you. And I saw you that morning, and I said, you know, I'm going for the top five, but, you know, I don't think I'm not. I really didn't think I was going to qualify for Kona there. I really.
Yeah. What were you thinking was going to happen for you at Canada? Do you think that was really the better?
I think Canada, I might have had a decent chance, you know, having had the whole season. But I think I'm stronger in the half Ironman distance than I am in the Ironman. Yeah, well, I've only done two Ironmans, you know, and one of them was in that 90-degree heat. So I think I can have a much better run.
It'll be that hot.
Well, that's the other thing I have to do is I'm going to try and do some heat acclimation training, and we'll talk about that stuff too. I know, Kona! We're going to Kona! Whew, that island will never be the same.
Well, thank you, Sherry, for sharing your amazing story.
Thank you, Ron. Yeah. And I'm going to be cheering for you because you're coming to Kona, too.
Well, with any luck, I'll be there with you.
Yeah, KQ. You hear that, Art? I want a KQ shirt. Kona Queen. No Kona Quest. We're there. Kona Queen.
All right.
Yeah. Great okay. Job. Well, thanks, everybody. And how can they reach us?
Oh, yeah.
We're supposed to sell ourselves a little here.
I forgot, yeah. Triathica.com or TriathicaAcademy.com, Ron at Triathica, any of those ways.
He's everywhere.
Yeah, and you?
And I'm at CoachSBR.com.
Sweet.
Yes. Yeehaw. Happy training, everybody.
See ya.
Over and out.